Blog Talk Radio.
$1 trillion flow. From LA to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Texas. The $1 trillion flow.
People, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you're mine, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. It is the sweetest
thing I know. I love.
Oh, how I love the name
Jesus. Oh, I love the name.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Come on and lift your hands and say it.
It is the sweetest
thing.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire. Oh, oh, shut up in my bones.
Oh,
yeah, the Holy Ghost.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. I need something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
Something about the name.
Oh, I realize.
Something about the name Jesus. As we get ready to cross out, I want to tell you, listening. And we want to tell you all is well. Psalms 39, Psalms 81. And we want you to read Psalms 119. It's something about the name. The healing. The deliverance. I'm praying for you and even you. And everybody else.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you're mine, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus. Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
sir.
It is the sweetest
name.
Sweetest
name. I know.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Oh, I love the name.
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
Come on and lift your hands and say
it.
It
is.
It is a sweet
name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Some people say I'm crazy, but I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
Said it's just like fire. Oh, shut up in my bones.
Oh,
yeah. The Holy Ghost is moving here.
Yes, it is.
And it just won't leave me alone. I need something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something about the name.
Yes, it is.
About the
energy. Oh, I realize
it is
a sweet
day.
Oh,
I know.
I gotta be honest with you. I love.
Oh, how I love the
nature. I love the
name. Oh, how I love the nature.
It's the sweetest name.
Yes, it
is. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Said it's sweeter than honey.
Oh,
from the honey comes out there. I can feel the Holy Ghost moving, and
yeah.
It won't leave me alone.
No, 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 no.
Bring this to you tonight as stirs the next and as God stirs us up in the night. If you can't see this, I'm talking to somebody, you know, you say you ain't got it, but I'm going to declare what he's going to get to you. I want you to begin to new job, and God bless you with new finance. Every door closed is going to be open up.
Father, I stretch my hand. Oh. Before I drew my breath, what did thine lonely son in be? I drew my
sing that for me tonight. That's what I've been doing all these years. I want to read to you from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 11th and 12th verses. You are familiar by this time with the subject, but I want to just read for you the actual text. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. The eagle stirs her nest. A lot of people have come to me telling me, calling me about the subject. Some of them said the eagle stirs his nest. One said the buzzard stirs his nest. Another one said you preaching on the chicken stirring his nest. So I've heard all kinds of things concerning this subject, but according to the rendering in the Bible, it is the eagle stirs her nest.
Yes, yes, sir.
You see. Now, may I just, by introduction, say that this particular passage that I have chosen comes out of that part of the Bible which we call the Pentateuch,
yes, sir,
or more commonly called the books of the law.
Yes, yes,
yes. This part of the Bible, according to lay people, was written as events took place. But it wasn't written like that. It was written time after time and track after track. And some of it was preserved and some of it was lost. And it did not come into a whole or a synthesis until the Babylonian exile. It was then that the priests and the Levites, who found themselves in the throes of a dilemma, in a crisis. I see Mrs. Ollie Mae Patterson over there, my daughter Irma's mother-in-law. They found themselves in trouble, and it's a funny thing that most people don't think too much about God or themselves or their destiny until they get in trouble. So when they were carried off to Babylon by the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar and enslaved, they did a very unique thing. They did not do what most of the people in this part of the world did. Usually, people in that part of the world, in the Euphrates Valley or in the Mediterranean area, when their gods fell, or when they were conquered by other people, they forsook their gods because they considered that their gods had fallen.
Yes. Yes.
But the Jews or the Hebrews did a very unique thing. When their nation fell, they didn't put it on their God. They said, we are responsible. It's our backsliding ways. It's our sin that have brought this calamity upon us. And what we need to do is to re-examine the law and the prophets and reinterpret them and synthesize them into a whole. Not only for ourselves, but for generations to come. I don't believe you're going to pray with me tonight. So that
things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing
until the Babylonian exile. It was then that the priests and the Levites who found themselves in the throes of a dilemma, in a crisis. I see Mrs. Ollie B. Patterson over there, my daughter Irma's mother-in-law. They found themselves in trouble. And it's a funny thing that most people don't think too much about God or themselves or their destiny until they get in trouble. So when they were carried off to Babylon by the conquest of Nebuchadnezzar and enslaved, they did a very unique thing. They did not do a regal bird. You don't hear me. The eagle is a regal bird. And by regal I mean kingly, royal. Royal. And in this way, the eagle symbolizes God, because God is not just a king.
No.
He is the king. And I'm glad it's that way, because kings and rulers got to have somebody over them, and they've got to be accountable to somebody. So in this way, the eagle symbolizes God in his regal nest. And then in the next place, the eagle is strong. Is strong. It is said that the eagle can fly along, look down, and see a young lamb or a young animal grazing in a meadow by a mountainside, and swoop down upon that unsuspecting lamb or animal and grab him in the strength of his paws or feet and fly away to yonder's cleft and devour him. He's just that strong. God is strong. You don't hear me. God is strong. Somebody said that he upholds and undergirds the universe. Somebody said that this planet that we live on called Earth, we know by now that it is not built upon a platform. It doesn't have anything holding it up that's visible. But it is held in place by two countering forces called centripetal and centrifugal forces. And they balance each other. You don't hear me. All they are talking about when they say that is just talking about how strong God is. Huh? So strong that somebody called him a leaning post in Zion that millions could lean on and be substantiated and be secure. And somebody called him a city of refuge. And then they called him a fortress. Now you know that that's talking about strong, isn't it? So in that way, the eagle symbolizes God. Then you see the eagle is swift. Swift. It is said that the eagle can fly with such swiftness that his wings can be heard roaring in the air. And at the approach of a storm, he can zoom up above the storm and get out of the fury of the storm. Well, in that way, the eagle symbolizes God. For God, you see, is swift. You don't hear me. He's swift. Well, I could tell you many, many instances of his swiftness, but I'll just tell you about one. One day down in Babylon, three Hebrew boys got in trouble. They got in trouble with the king because they would not recognize and respect the ceremony dedicating a new god. Somewhere in their history, in their cultural background, they had something which said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And they wouldn't buy. By the time that they had made it clear that they wouldn't buy and were sentenced to a fiery furnace, God was so swift. He was there before they could get him from court to the furnace and was walking around in the furnace, air conditioning the fire furnace so that it didn't send a hair on their head. Oh, he's swift. Huh? He's swift. I believe that he's so swift, sometime he will
hear you and answer you before you get through answering him. Before you get through asking him, the answer is already there. Peter had that experience along with the Christians one time when he was in jail. He's with. And I'll tell you another thing about the eagle. The eagle, it is said, builds her nest in a peculiar way. It is said that the eagle builds a nest in a kind of a huge fashion to fit her own anatomy and that of her young. But basically, the nest is rather crude and rough. But then as that nest graduates toward a finish, it is said that the material becomes finer and finer and finally soft and downy like cotton. So that the little eaglets can be comfortable in the nest. But when those eaglets have grown up and ought to be out scuffling for themselves, that parent eagle pushed them out of the nest, take them upon her back, fly out into the blue yonder. And when they are unsuspecting, she dives from beneath them and leave them flopping their little wings, trying to stay aloft. It is said that she circles around above them and watch them while they struggle. And she knows when they have become exhausted. She knows when they can't stay aloft any longer. And when they are about to go down, she dives beneath them and catches them on her back. I think God does us like us. God does us like that sometimes. I believe that sometimes we find ourselves in the comfortableness of circumstances, luxury or security or both, and we get... in a peculiar way. It is said that the eagle builds a nest in a kind of a huge fashion to fit her own anatomy and that of her young. But basically, the nest is rather crude and rough. But then as that nest graduates toward a finish, it is said that the material becomes finer and finer and finally soft and downy like cotton. So that the little eaglets can be comfortable in the nest. But when those eaglets have grown up and ought to be out scuffling for themselves, that parent eagle pushed them out of the nest, take them upon her back, fly out into the blue yonder. And when they are unsuspecting, she dives from beneath them and leave them flopping their little wings, trying to stay aloft. It is said that she circles around above them and watch them while they struggle. And she knows when they have become exhausted. She knows when they can't stay aloft any longer. And when they are about to go down, she dives beneath them and catches them on her back. I think God does us like us. God does us like that sometimes. I believe that sometimes we find ourselves in the comfortable nest of circumstances, luxury or security or both, and we get so comfortable we don't bother to struggle. We are satisfied right where we are. Then God take us out, allow some circumstances to develop to push us out of our nest of security. And then when we find ourselves, we're on our own wing. Well, have you felt like that sometime? Sometime in prayer, you reach out and it doesn't seem that he is there. Like Job, you go out ahead and you turn to the right and to the left. And you go back over your path and it doesn't seem that he is there. Oh, he's there all right, as he's everywhere. He's above us. He's looking down on us. But he's allowing us to try our own way. I don't believe you hear me tonight. And before we really fall, why, he will come in and catch us when we are descending. I don't believe you hear me. But what I'm about to say, that, you know, preaching means nothing except just reciting Bible stories, unless you can make it relevant to life today. Now, the question is God still stirring the nest? That's what I want to ask you. Yes, he's still stirring the nest. He stirred the nest in history when we came as slaves to this country. You don't hear me. I know it was rough, and I know it was bad, and I know that we had a hard time. Oh Lord. And we feel that it was a long time. It was, according to our calendar. But you see, God doesn't work by our calendar. He works by eternity. Oh Lord. So 400 years for just a little while with God. You don't hear me tonight. Looking back, it looked like to me it was a long time. Oh Lord. It seemed like the night was too long. But God, it was just a minute in eternity. And my great-grandparents were slaves. But oh look, where her great-grandson stands tonight. Oh Lord, why, God has been stirring the nest. Oh Lord, in suffering there is redemption. Oh Lord, unfortunately for us to be ourselves, we have to suffer. Unfortunately for us to know ourselves, sometimes we have to suffer. Oh Lord. And my great-grandparents and their parents suffered vicariously for me and for you. You don't hear me tonight. I see God stirring the nest. in labor, God stirred the nest. You don't hear me. I said in labor, when they had the labor war, and the labor struggle, oh Lord, when men were made to work from chain to chain, it was God stirring the nest. You go to the factory now. You get a guarantee of so much an hour. And you work from the humane labor conditions. Because he is a labor struggle. God, I had somebody here to pray with me. God was stirring the nest. Yes. And then, may I say, another instance where God was stirring the nest. After World War One, well, the black man
in trouble. You you're going to have to go back to the same old music. If you walk in the doctor's office and he tell you you got 6 months to live, the hip-hop ain't going to help you. You're going to have to fall down on your knees every now and then and say, I need, help me say, the old. You know, it gets dark sometimes, but when it gets dark in your life, huh, the sun can be shining, but it can be dark in your life. Oh, y'all want to hear me? When it gets dark in your life, you can reach back, go down Old School Boulevard again, and come back up and get this message. Shine! Let the light. This is what I was raised on. From the light. Let me say, come on. Shine. Oh, me. Y'all hear me one more time?
Wake Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
North Carolina, South Carolina, Phoenix.
Then it was born out of some of his experiences.
Yes, sir.
possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne.
Yeah.
Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand.
Well,
with courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him.
Yeah.
And yet he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past.
Well,
and began to think about those things that brought him over.
Yeah. Amen.
Had it been his skillfulness?
Well,
had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies?
No,
sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah. To the throne of Israel.
Well,
here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the fear of giant Goliath.
Yeah.
Outside in the town of Succoth at the Valley of Elah.
Yeah.
With the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain.
Yeah.
And the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other.
Well,
and this man who had been decorated for his valor and bravery.
Yeah.
Was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, or exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. You know how he requested audience with the king, and how he started out with Saul's own helmet on his head, Saul's own sword in his hand, Saul's own shield on his arm. But having no experience and training in this kind of a thing, he took them back and requested only his strength and God. You know the victory that he brought to Israel. And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed a new song. Since Saul hath killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. You know the jealousy that this aroused in Saul. And how Saul sought to kill him. And how he had to run and hide. And one day when there were a company of men coming in from the south. And another company closing in from the north. And another one from the east and another one from the west. And there was no escape for David. And God whispered to a spider. And told David to run in a cave. And told that spider to get busy. And web up that cave. And when the soldier got there, God is my shepherd.
Yes, hello everyone. This show is brought to you by the Seed of Abraham Ministries, helmed by the Bishop T. Turner. And if you need to reach the Bishop or Bishop Turner, either day or night, please give him a call at 773-577-9720. Thank you.
I used to think